You sound great. And on the stream, my eyeball says it looks great with Leo doing the streaming. So I say, let's dive right in. You got a long, huge line.
Oh, and in order to be a little more dialectical, I'll be reading the questions. So first question, which key was a third-party package for a long time? Is there work to bring any other popular packages into the core of Emacs for Emacs 31 Plus, like Maggit or Council?
Right, I already answered that one on the, as you can see.
Right, yeah.
Who's controlling the stream?
If you want to quickly read the answer so that everyone on the stream
gets it. I just can read it out again. As far as I remember, the one package that was being discussed just around the time that the Emacs 30 branch was cut was MacroStep. That's the package that does an overlay, replaces a macro with the macro expansion using overlays. So you don't have to pop up another buffer, modified current buffer. But we did manage to address all the concerns in time for the Emacs 30 cut, and I believe it's sort of stagnated around that, but it might be picked up anytime someone mentions it on Emacs Devil again. Another package the question mentioned was Maggit. That's a constant discussion regarding Maggit, and I from the top of my head, I can't recall if Maggit is on non-GNU ELPA or GNU ELPA right now. It's still a non-GNU ELPA. For those who don't know, only packages which are in ELPA are considered for addition, considered to be added to the Emacs core, to be bundled along with Emacs. And then there's another totally parallel discussion about having a sort of fat Emacs distribution. I call it fat Emacs distribution, where Emacs comes with a lot of ELPA packages already pre-installed by default. Part of Emacs itself. Yeah.
Darn it. Maybe I could jump in with an active listening style, kind of follow-up question almost. I understand the kind of different repositories. We have things that aren't maintained by GNU at all, most notably Melpa. And then we have kind of non-GNU ELPA, which is sort of an entryway project where it's not necessarily curated, but there'll be some advice given, which you can take or leave. And that's the repository where anything that was the newer repository that represents help supplied from GNU. And then there's the GNU ELPA, what most of us are used to calling just ELPA, and that's what you're talking about there when you say,
all packages on ELPA are officially considered to be part of Emacs. They're licensed under the same conditions as Emacs itself, same license, same everything.
And they're more likely to be drop-in patched. Oh yeah, it's time for this to move to core. Is that right?
They have the legal conditions for that to be done.
Everything's necessary from a paperwork standpoint.
But other than that, there's not really a big difference between GNU ELPA and non-GNU ELPA. It's really just this, and the main thing is this copyright notice. So if you want to add a package to ELPA, to GNU ELPA, then all significant contributors have to have signed the FSF copyright assignment, and the package script, actually the ELPA build script, checks if the copyright lines all attributes are all attributed to the Free Software Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more of a...
That's not going to attach, right? So because that's not in place, it'd be a lot more work to merge it to core.
I didn't hear the beginning.
Never mind. I think I understood. You made your point well.
Okay.
All right, moving on to the second question. When thinking about using Emacs on Android, I start realizing all the other software I also want on it. For example, PDF Tools wants a small additional Emacs-specific program to be installed on, and Not Much obviously wants Not Much. Any way to get the goodness of Emacs for Android with this other stuff, using either NixOS or Gix or NixOnDroid to make an APK with extra stuff? Are you familiar with this topic?
Absolutely not.
Neither am I.
The extent to which I have used Emacs on Android was entirely demonstrated in this video, I think. And my experiment in my previous video. I mean, I know it does a few scrolling stuff, but I have no idea how external stuff, because I mean, Android is, it's a Unix or it's a Linux-based system, but it's really heavily modified to the preferences of Google. which includes not being able to have your own software on it.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on to the next question. Does package VC... Yeah. Oh, no, that's fine. I mean, you can't answer all the questions. I mean, it wouldn't be fun for me otherwise. Does package VC download a tarball from the specified Git repository or clone the repository itself?
It clones the repository. That's the VC part in the name. Package VC uses VC, the Control XV stuff. In Emacs 29, there's a new command called VC clone, which in Emacs 31 is actually exposed as an interactive command. And when you clone the repository, or when you you can give it any URL of a Git repository, of a CVS repository, or a Subversion repository. Interestingly enough, most people only use Git, but anything that implements this clone command for VC, and it could download it. So there's no tarballs involved in there, which is also, one should emphasize, part of the difficulty of VC packages, because when you have version control and you want to upgrade it, it might be that the upstream did a force push, or that you made local changes and then you have to merge them upstream with the upstream changes when fetching stuff. So it's one of the big downsides of version control stuff. And I'm saying this is the guy who actually wrote package VC. There's times to use it, there's advantages to it, but that's something you should keep in mind, why tarballs are interesting to have, in my opinion.
Okay. How is the new behavior of MetaQ in prog mode, prog fail, reindent, defun, or something like that, different from the behavior of control MetaQ, i.e. indent pp6 in older Emacs version? My apologies if indent pp6, it's really tough to read MetaX commands out loud. It's not bound to control MetaQ by default, I can't tell.
Let me try that command out, because I've never tried it, never used it before.
I remember.
You know, that isn't bound by default. I bind that up myself, and I have that binding. I think that's not
it says right. So. I mean, I'm currently executing it here in Emacs, and it says you can also run the commands indent pp sx with metaq, control metaq. So apparently it is. I mean, set it myself.
Today I learned.
I don't know what's up with that.
To try moving
and then each line starting with points or pretty printed. I mean, the main difference between that and the command highlighted, what's the name again, I forget it all the time, the prog mode command, prog mode fill reindent, is that it checks if it's in a string or not. If it's in a string or if it's in a comma, then it will refill, otherwise it's going to reindent. So that's, I think, as far as I see, that's going to be the main difference. If we have some long comments somewhere, let's try that out. Yeah, that's the difference. You can't see it, but I did try it.
Okay, so, good. Thank you. You did a wonderful job describing visually what you're doing. All right, moving on to the next question. And we have just enough time to cover the last three questions. And especially because the next one, I can pretty much surmise the answer. Any plans for Emacs running on iOS?
Probably not, because it's not, I mean, as I emphasized in the video, Emacs, the Emacs port in Android is completely free. And to my knowledge, that's not something that's currently possible with iOS. You need Xcode or something like that to build iOS stuff.
So that's a big no-no.
I mean, maybe Apple's going to change their mind on that one.
Well, I won't be the one liaising with Apple to make sure that they do. But PR welcomes, I guess, or motivated folks welcome. Second to last question. I am worried about the situation on non-free systems. There was talk about the Windows and the macOS versions being as good as unmaintained. Where do we go from here? I gather that most users of Emacs are still on non-free platforms and will remain to be there.
I don't know about the last point, if that's true, because there's no statistics on that matter. But someone has to do it. I know that Corbin is involved with the Mac, with the Windows.
Modestly. Sure, I'd love to jump in, but I'm far more interested in your thoughts than mine. Please continue.
Someone has to do the work, and Ellie uses, as far as I know, Ellie's on the Windows XP system. And so as long as he's doing that, there's going to be Windows support for in some one form or another, or at least DOS support.
All right. And now you put a quarter in me, so I'll jump right back in. That's perfect for where I guess I would take the question. To me, it's an accessibility issue. Think about it this way. Maybe that Windows XP system is what someone can afford. Likewise, from a freedom versus I have to do my job and I have to use certain technology to do my job, maybe Emacs is what somebody can afford, right? It might be the only free tool that they use, and they don't have a lot of choice about the operating system that they're in most of the day. In fact, somebody could be in the situation where their computing device at work is really their internet access, right? All of those situations are possible. Therefore, I tend to assume they all exist. And when I ask, you know, how much it definitely is concerning when we hear about kind of black holes in the brain trust of something like support for the Windows port. I feel like I've heard a lot of people answering that call, but the importance of that is that it doesn't stop echoing, right? Free software goes as long as there are people that are irritated enough about something to sort of come hack on it.
Yeah. And the same applies to macOS. But I don't know any concrete details about who's currently working. I can't recollect any details on who's currently working on what.
Okay, and that leaves us with the last question of the day. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit confused about what version of org that I should write towards, because there's org in Emacs, so the one that ships built-in, there's the one in ELPA, there's the one in org, probably the org ELPA, I assume. Yeah. Is there a best practice on what org to use when following Emacs latest?
When following Emacs latest, it depends on, I think my rough heuristic is if you do use org a lot and if you follow the newest features, then use the version on ELPA, because the ELPA version should be the most up-to-date one. The org ELPA was deprecated, to my knowledge. If that's not true, please someone interrupt me before I make a fool of myself. No one's done that yet.
So, I think a couple of years ago, there were chats, and then we deprecated the org contrib ELPA, but I think org ELPA is still alive. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that about that. Okay. In that case, that relativizes how absolute my answer is. Personally, I just use the version in Emacs, which is bundled with Emacs, which is regularly updated on master whenever there's an ELPA, whenever there's a release. But that might take it might be a short time behind the ELPA version or the other ELPA, the org ELPA, which we mentioned.
Yeah.
But I'm a very light org mode user, so please don't take my word on that one.
No, and I'm happy to come to you.
Yeah.
I feel like we lost Leo again.
Okay.
Well, that's all right. I wanted a bite at that apple. I'm a little bit. Yeah, I also describe myself as a light org user, but somehow your comment made me think, well, maybe I do use it just a little bit more than you, Philip. I get. From my standpoint, I'm using it as a technical basis for dungeon mode in order to keep the game notes for the games that are made using this game engine I'm making that I talked about a few years ago.
As soon as you said technical grounds, you bet me.
Right. So I've studied its internals a bit, and I have my own thoughts about this or that. Right. But of course, I'm rolling with the punches because I'm just grateful that the bear dances. What an amazing thing is org mode. But Leo knows far more than me, conveniently having it's stage right here, so he can't defend himself from this. But I've had thoughts around this space. Are you back, Leo?
Sorry, I'm back. So I was
don't be shy. You save us all. Maybe a closing remarks. I'll bring this up.
I was trying to clear my throat to be very inconspicuous about me coming back, but apparently I was ousted. I was trying to answer the question, and I was trying to desperately save you from answering, Philip, because the thing about org mode is that if you are the kind of people who tend to check out master on org mode, generally it's roughly pretty stable. Like when we were working with org element and stuff like this, perhaps there were some elements of stability which weren't there quite yet, but usually now it's pretty stable. So I think that if you are really excited about contributing to org mode and stuff like this, I think there isn't all that many risks to just checking out org mode master, so cloning the repository and just keeping up to date. Otherwise, ELPA is a fairly safe bet if you want to have the latest stable version. And
so it's more or less the same deal as with Emacs itself. I mean, you can follow whatever published on your in your package archives or in your system distribution package manager. You can build it yourself if you want to contribute and fix bugs, add features, and so on.
Yeah, and I don't think perhaps a little more with Emacs, because the feature that tends to get introduced in Emacs are slightly more wild, and not wild in the sense that they are less stable, but wild in the sense that they tend to change a lot more stuff. The org, the core of org, at least during Bastion's maintenance ship, was very stable when you think about it. So things might change with Eeyore right now in terms of how he wants to change some of the core behaviors, but it's usually pretty stable. And whether you use the latest major version, the latest minor version, things are probably going to be pretty stable at the end.
It's like you heard me while you were offline. And I do agree with that, in case you might have heard both our remarks and think we're talking different angles. Actually, I think we would tend to agree on this, Leo and I. For the record, when I'm saying, oh, I have to go keep up with org, that's because org grows behaviors that I've got my own. I had to figure out at some point my own way to do it, and now I'm learning how it's done, right? So I'm like, well, in my abstraction, blah, right? And those conversations usually end at, and somebody else had took the time to figure out how to actually make Emacs do that. Go be quiet. And I do. And I do consider that under Bastion's tenure, it has been quite, you know, stable. We might notice the occasional, like, oh, this highlights now and that didn't. Right, but very often, very, very infrequently is it breaking my workflow as a user, any of it.
It's interesting to me that this mirrors my experience with Emacs itself, where I think in my perception, Emacs master is very stable, and I might notice the slight changes between Git pulls, but otherwise, in my experience, org mode suddenly changes something. I don't know what changed or what's going on, or what caused it, and I perceive it as being a sudden uncontrolled change or so.
And I think that's apt, right? That gets at it. If we're pulling from org pretty regularly, cron job every night, or pulling a few times a day or something like that,
the internals.
Yeah, we'll have a different experience than, you know, if we only remember to update org once every 4 months. It really pays to stick with every
change. And suddenly lots of things might change. Of
whatever broken my own config, right? And so a lot of things within Emacs, but also within the free software tool chain, it's how much you're going to invest in the config might limit, you know, and maintaining your config may limit the depth of how far it makes sense for you to go with a tool at any given point in time.
Actually, just looked up my org config, and I set four options, user options. So that's, if that's a measurement of org expertise, that's my level, it's four.
That's all good then.
Four of four, I'm assuming that is, right?
Four of what?
What was the metric, therefore, of like 1,000?
Four out of the number of user options that org provides.
Okay, I see. Four, more like 10,000. I'm there.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, I suggest we move towards close because it's fairly late for me and I need to sleep. And Philip, I think it's pretty late for you as well, isn't it?
I'm in Germany, so it's about.
So it is pretty late. It's same time zone as me. It's 11 p.m. for you.
Truly, yeah.
Yeah, so I suggest we both take the chance to go to bed as soon as we can. But Philip, thank you so much for both the presentation and also the answer that you provided to us and the nice little chat we had at the end. We look forward to seeing you again next year, perhaps for Emacs 31. I'm not sure. I was chatting with Wasimasa trying to make pronostics about when Emacs 30 is going to be released.
There's a pre-release coming soon. I should have mentioned that earlier.
Well, there you go for people who
Yeah.
Gone.
Fun fact.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Philip. We'll be moving towards close. Give us about 2 minutes to get set up in the other room. And okay. Philip, we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.